Well, good morning. Oh, you got more than that, didn't you? Good morning. I mean, we just sang that he paid it all. You know how much debt he paid? All of it, huh? You know how much debt I and you owe? Not just a little bit, right? I'm going to go ahead and ask you to open your Bibles with me to Romans chapter 1. Let's open our Bibles to Romans chapter 1. Go ahead and grab your outline there. Those outlines are there to help you, to guide us along, and it helps us follow along in God's message. So we're opening our Bibles to Romans chapter 1, getting out our outlines. We will begin in verse 16 today and go to verse 23. 16 and 17 are the theme, righteous wrath. Great topic, huh? Aren't you excited? It's incredible, though, when we learn about what we're going to learn here as God teaches us in his word about his righteous wrath, his hatred of sin. But we're going to begin by reading verses 16 and 17 that really set up the context of 18 and 23 as Paul writes the theme statement on the book of Romans. And I'm just trying to encourage you to find your place, get your outline out. And I have a couple of things to say before we read these two verses. I'm going to ask you to stay with me for about 5 or 6 minutes. I mean, I'm going to ask you to be attentive. I mean, just stay focused, you know, let the kids wander, let them make noise up and down, you know, you don't have to get this or that kind of thing. I'm going to ask you to stay with me for the next 5 or 6 minutes, be attentive. We need to capture this. What we talk about here, what I'm going to share in God's word, what we're going to go through will affect your understanding of the whole book of Romans. Is that enough? I'm going to set up a foundation for our understanding of the whole book of Romans. God does it in his word. He does that often in the epistles that he wrote. In Ephesians, we looked at Ephesians 1:10, and he's summing up all things in Christ. And then we get to see, and all the rest of Ephesians, what it looks like that God is summing up everything in Christ. What we want to understand is the book of Romans, don't we? That's a good place for an amen. We want to understand what God said in the book of Romans. It's long, it's deep, it's wide, it's rich, it's full, but we want to understand it. We don't want to get confused by it. We don't want it to be misinterpreted. We want to understand it. So what we need to do is set up what God is saying so as we will be guided through God's word as we go through Romans, it's going to help us when we understand what the book is about and what God is trying to reveal to us, what he's trying to tell us, what he's wanting us to understand. Like Tom said, the love of God is demonstrated, right, Tom? It's demonstrated. It's experienced through the body of Christ. We experience it, that, but it's taught in the Word of God. And our understanding of love isn't based upon what we experience. It's fleshed out what we know to be truth about God's Word and God's love and God's truth of His love for us. And then we live it out as we can in this experience, but it's taught in His Word. And that's the truth of love. It's not how we might experience it being, it's a demonstration of his love in the body of Christ. But it's not the definition of his love. That's what I want you to understand. So we want the definition of what God is teaching in here. So we understand it. We can demonstrate it. We can live the word of God. We can live what God wants. But we have to understand the truth of it. And so I want to set some things in the foundation. So we'll begin with by reading verses 1, 16, and 17. As a theme statement of what Paul is going to say, he said, look at it with me, Romans 1, 16, and 17. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith, or the one made righteous through faith lives. Now, what God does through the rest of the book of Romans, what God does through Paul in his writing is explain the depth of that theme statement. He's going to explain the detail of it. God is going to show us and bring to light the depth of all of that statement and more in what he says in the book of Romans. I've been calling it, as we've been working our way there, the depth of the good news of the gospel. That's what I've been saying, but it is what it is. God wants us to understand the good news, the truth, all the news, all the thing about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants us to understand this side of it, that side of it. He wants us to know it intellectually, know it in our heart, to believe God's word, the truth about it. And he defines it this way. Look at verse 17 with me. He says it's for the For in it, the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. That's the main focus of the book of Romans. The revealing of righteousness runs through the whole of the letter. That's what runs through the whole of the letter. If you lose that, you can get lost in what God is teaching. So grab your outline. I want you to look at it with me. So it's the righteousness of God. That's what it says in the scripture. But it's the righteousness from God that is being revealed. It includes both. That's what's being revealed in the book of Romans. It's both of those. The of God is God's activity of making right, saving, vindicating, satisfying his justice. That's the righteousness of God. The righteousness from God is the status of those who are made right. God's going to teach us all the detail of that. He's going to want us to understand it. It's going to be being revealed. He uses these words for a reason. It's like this. I want you to see this. Righteousness is being revealed in the gospel. It's being revealed. It's being made known. It's being brought to light in the Word of God of Romans. The righteousness of God, God's activity of making right, saving, vindicating, satisfying his justice, the righteousness from God, the status of those that are made right who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we're going to understand the depth of. That's being unveiled, brought to light. And Romans 1:18 through 11:36 unfolds the detail. So we have to understand that in our heart. When we're in Romans 4 and talking about in that, if we're not thinking about the righteousness of God and the righteousness from God and God unfolding the detail on that, we're going to miss what God's teaching us. And then so when God shows us, now stay with me, God wants us to understand the righteousness of God. He wants to reveal it to his word. He wants us to understand the righteousness from God as we go through Romans. There's some other things that we're going to see. As he does that, we will see and understand many more things. I gave some letters out to the young people, some few young people. Can you bring those up and reveal to us what we're going to see? Can you guys come on up? Just come on up. Come on up here. And I'm using this as an illustration. You see, God is revealing his righteousness and the righteousness from him in his word. We're seeing that revealed. Go ahead and open one up and give one to me. You can turn toward them. Let them see you revealing what's in the letter. Okay, so we have mercy. Okay, so we have mercy. God is going to reveal his mercy, us understanding of it. We have holiness. Thank you. You guys, after you reveal what God is going to reveal. You have love. There we go, like that one right there. And then we have lunch? How did you bring up lunch? Grace. That's my nephew Noah. I can get him. So this is what I want you to understand, because all through the Romans, it says like in Romans 5:8, God was demonstrating his love for us when we were yet sinners and we were enemies with him. He was demonstrating it while we were sinning. Christ died on the cross. When God reveals to us, when we understand, he unfolds for us and brings to light our understanding of his righteousness and the righteousness that we receive in Christ. Then we're going to see the depth of love, the depth of grace, the depth of mercy. You're going to see the truth of it, the depth of it. And I wrote in there of goodness, of forgiveness, and we could put power and peace and wisdom and justice. All these things, attributes of God, are made visible in the revealing of the rightness of God and the rightness from God that me and you have in faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Does that make sense? Come on, you guys, help me. That's what we need to understand. If you really want to understand the love of God, mercy of God, power of God, you're going to need to understand the righteousness of God and have that in a good understanding. Because if you have the righteousness of God and the righteousness from God that you have in Jesus Christ in a wrong place, you're going to see these other attributes in a different way than that way how God wants us to see them. So this is so important for us. As a body of Christ, as a church, the depth that we're going to understand of. Now, who of you can give me two sentences and give me the greatest definition or give me a clear definition of what righteousness means? One of the books I'm reading by Douglas Moo in his commentary on that right when we're in the middle of here, he wrote it in 67 pages, the definition of righteousness. And what God, we have it in our mind, what we think righteousness is. God wants us to have an understanding in our heart and mind of what he says righteousness is. Well, that's what we're going to be going on and digging into. Are you ready? I'm excited. How about you? We're not excited? So that's what Paul is doing here. That's what he says. I'm not ashamed to preach the gospel. It's the power of God. We're going to see that all through Romans. For salvation to everyone who believes. And for in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. That's a word there, from faith to faith. It's revealed from your faith, my faith, inner faith. It's revealed by God, shows how faith comes, on how people have faith, and what God does with faith, and that what the power of God in faith, and what God does through the... It's revealed. It's brought to light for us to see. So what does God do to unfold this righteousness? He begins by bringing to light, look at verse 18. He begins by bringing to light God's wrath, God's hatred of sin. Now, look at your Bible. Verse 17, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed, for the wrath of God is revealed. There's no accident the same words are used. So what God is telling us, and in the word for, it's wrapped up in the for. He doesn't say because or and. He doesn't say but. He uses for continually, preposition, right, Tony? And in explaining what has went before, as he explains it, he says, and then for us to see the righteousness of God, God's going to have to reveal his hatred of sin to us. Because if we have hatred of sin wrong, God's wrath against sin, and the sin in us, if we have that wrong, we see righteousness wrong. Stay with me, right? So for us to first begin to understand righteousness from God and of God, we're going to have to understand God's wrath. That's where God starts. For you to know the righteousness of God, for you to know the righteousness that is from God, that is right, let's just use the word, the rightness of God and the rightness from God that you are in Christ, you have to understand God's hatred for sin. You have to understand his wrath against sin and the sin in our life. That's what Paul starts with. That's what God's word starts with. He tells us, for us to see clearly the righteousness of God, we have to clearly see the hatred of sin that God has and the depth of sin of me and you. And so what does God do? He teaches that, Paul does that, from 118 to 320. That's a long way to teach on God's wrath, God's hatred of sin. But see, it's important for us to have it in the right place. I could make some statements here. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. My life, there's a crimson stain. Your sin, how deep was your sin? And how much did God hate your sin? We want to understand the depth of it and what God's righteousness and what he does with it. Now, I know that's a long introduction, but I'm going to repeat this because we're going to go all the way through 320 and talking about this, but it's so important for us to understand it, that that's why God teaches about his judgment of sin. So because God wants us to understand his righteousness and the righteousness that we receive in Christ. Listen, the whole letter of Romans can be outlined like this. Listen to me. Righteousness needed, God will teach us that. Righteousness imputed, we will see that, the imputed righteousness of Christ. Righteousness imparted, we will see that's how we can live the life of Christ. Righteousness rejected, and he'll talk about Israel and God's people, and then at the end, righteousness lived. That's the way it was. The book of Romans is this, it's righteousness needed, imputed, imparted, rejected, and lived. So we would be important to understand righteousness, right? And I've been studying this for 4 months, getting ready to go into Romans. I've grown and learned. Tom, we learn about God's righteousness, its depth, right? It's deep. It's right. It's important for us to understand and know what God is saying and not just have a surface knowledge of it. So God wants us to understand it clearly. His righteousness and the righteousness he's given to you in Christ, so he begins with God's righteous wrath. That's a very interesting way to begin, but it is. And you'll see the importance of it. Look at verse 18 with me. First of all, he says this, God's wrath, for the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. That's what he begins with. For God's wrath is being revealed. Do you see God's wrath? Go on, you guys, help me. Perk up a little bit. Turn the air conditioners on about 40. There we go. No, I'm teasing. Do you see God's wrath today? Do you? Do you see it being revealed? Do you see the wrath of God? Do you see his hatred for sin? It's all over the place. God is a God of wrath as much as he is a God of love. The wrath here is orge, and it means this: settled indignation, settled hatred for sin. It's not momentary fury. It's not like your wrath. It's not like my wrath. It's settled indignation, settled hatred for sin. God doesn't fly off the handle. He doesn't lose it. He doesn't blow his cork. It's a settled hatred. You might want to write this down, and I'll repeat it because it's good. It's a settled hatred by God, who could never be good and loving unless he hated evil. Did you hear that? Douglas Moo wrote that. It's a quote from him. It's a settled hatred by God, who could never be good and loving unless he hated evil. One more time. It's a settled hatred by God, who could never be good and loving unless he hated evil. God couldn't be good if he didn't hate evil, if he didn't hate sin, if he didn't have his wrath coming against it, that it was going to be judged, that it was going to be taken out, that it was going to be done, right? He couldn't be a good God. He couldn't say, sin's okay. It destroys people's life. Evil is just wrecking everybody's thing. It's just going to take them all away from God and deceive them from the truth. It's going to totally destroy their lives. It's going to destroy their thoughts. And, you know, I don't hate that. I just love. The two of wrath and love, either both exist or neither do. We need to understand that. The wrath of God is as much as the love of God. And God hates sin as much as he loves us. The two are inseparable. God says his hatred of sin, his wrath is being revealed. Are we seeing it? I know a lot of questions in your mind. Most of the time we think of God's wrath as being revealed down the line. That's future. Future wrath. The wrath of God's coming. It's called tribulation period. It's called eschatological wrath as a seminary word for it. It's during the tribulation period, judgment against sin. It's going to be poured out, the bold judgments, all that that you read in Revelation, or the final eternal wrath at the end of it all, eternal damnation. But what God wants us to do, what he wants you to do, is recognize right today, you can see God's wrath being revealed right now. He wants us to recognize that his wrath, his hatred of sin, is being revealed in the present. That's why the verse, why I say being revealed, that's a present active verb, revealed, is being revealed. Let me ask you, was it revealed in the garden? Yes? It was revealed in the garden, wasn't it? Adam and Eve sinned, sentenced to death. Earth is cursed, thrown out of the garden, Genesis 3. How about the flood? The flood of Noah, was it revealed? The wrath of God, his hatred for sin. It was revealed in the garden. God hated their sin and kicked them out and cursed the earth and cursed them. That's God's wrath as much as God's love. It's his judgment against sin and his hatred for it. How about the flood? God said in Genesis 6, I see the people are corrupt, filled with violence. All flesh is corrupt. The end of flesh has come. You drowned them all. That's God's wrath. It's righteous. It's holy. It's just. He said, except for 8 people. And the Bible says that they found grace. God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah by fire from heaven. God had a compassion on Lot, Scripture says. And we would say in our heart, yeah, take them out. They're corrupt, wicked, evil, sin. He has to hate sin. You know, Sodom and Gomorrah, did you see what they're doing? God's hatred for sin is being revealed. It was revealed in the drowning of Pharaoh's army. But so far in your mind, you're thinking, oh, well, they all deserved it. It was revealed in the curse of the law for the Jewish people. Every transgression, the wrath of God came upon. It's Daniel 9. You transgressed the law of God, his wrath, his anger for sin came against you, right? We can go through the rescue of Egypt, and they're out, and then they're cursing God, they're grumbling, complaining, and God took out 27,000 in one day because they were grumbling about what they had. They were sinning. I want you to capture something here. I want you to know something here, because we kind of put it in a box here. God's hatred against sin is being revealed. It's revealing now. It's revealing now in the decay of the earth. Romans 8 says the world is decaying. It's going to go away. That's the wrath of God coming upon it. In the decay of moral behavior, in a culture, in a nation. How about every physical death is the revealing of the wrath of God from the garden? because everybody was born in Adam and death came, physical death. How about spiritual separation, that people are separated from God? That's a revealing of God's hatred of sin today, isn't it? You guys agree? Nod your head, wink, winkle, uproar. See, this is important for us to grab, for us to understand. If we're going to understand the righteousness of God and the righteousness from Him, we have to see His holy, righteous, just wrath. And it's being revealed. We see it. He wants us to recognize that God's hatred for sin is being brought to light. It's being uncovered. It's real. It's true. It's a reality. And it's right for God to do so. The greatest of the revealing of God's wrath is on the cross. We would know that, right? You would agree? When God poured out on the Lord Jesus Christ all His wrath for your sin. Yours and mine. Every drop of hatred of God for my sin poured out upon Jesus Christ, God's Son. God's hatred for sin and its judgment the Lord bore for me and for you. Scripture tells us Jesus was a propitiation for our sin, basically meaning He satisfied God's wrath against us by taking it for us. So all believers will not be judged in wrath because Christ paid the penalty of God's wrath or my sin by taking on God's wrath. Yes, there's consequences to sin. You reap what you sow. We suffer the consequences of living in a world where people are separated from God and sinning. There's consequences of that. But God's judgment of wrath does not come upon any believer. No wrath dished out. The hatred of sin has been paid for by all who believe. For all who believe. That's one reason Paul says the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. Look at the text. For the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven. God is deciding the when, the where, and the who. This is good. You get this. So we understand righteousness. It is His anger or hatred for sin disseminated by His decision. He's deciding to display His wrath on earth in Noah's day. He's deciding to display His wrath in the drowning of Pharaoh. He's deciding to display His wrath, His hatred of sin, and giving over people in the coming tribulation. It's from heaven. You know, that's so good to understand, for it helps us. How come God is allowing evil in this world today? How come all this evil's going on? People are being torqued and mistreated. How about the shooting? Where's God? How come His judgment hasn't come against Him? How come He lets people be like that way? Here's your answer. The God of the universe is a God of wrath, but it's coming from heaven, and He's the one disseminating it, deciding when it comes. We don't. We just want it all taken out. We want it all done. Hey, when that's done, we're in heaven. Right now, God is at work in the world. God's activity is happening in life. God is allowing the things that He allows. God is over it all because He, from heaven, is demonstrating and disseminating when He wants to judge evil and sin. Why is sinners unsaved prospering? Because Scripture says, Romans 9:22-23, God is willing to demonstrate His wrath and power on this evil, on the sin of people, but with much patience endures it so He can make known the riches of His glory upon you. If He was going to be just done with it, nobody would have made it in the boat, okay? And then there would be none of us. See, by the grace and mercy of God, willing to want to demonstrate His wrath on the sin and the evil of people and what they're doing, He's being patient and enduring as a God that hates sin so He can reveal to you and me His glory in Jesus Christ. God's still saving people. When He's done saving people, when His full wrath comes, basically we're gone and not many are saved. So God's wrath is continuously being revealed from heaven by God's determined decision. He wants us to know that. God's in charge of that. We can look upon the world and see the hard things happening, and they're happening only because God is enduring with much patience so he can reveal and bestow his glory on all who will believe. Because he wants to demonstrate his love to them. That's his righteousness. That's what he wants us to understand. So God's wrath is continuously being revealed from heaven by God's determined decision. And look what he says next. Look at verse 18. Against all ungodliness and all unrighteousness, the all would go there, of all men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness. This is pretty simple when you get into it, what he's saying. He's deciding when he's going to reveal it. He's determining it when it's coming from heaven, but God is revealing and will continuously reveal in one way, reveal it all. But what Paul is describing here is the extent and nature of God's wrath. His wrath will come against all. Just circle that. That's the extent. His wrath will come against all. It'll come against all humanity. God's wrath hates sin. The extent of it is that it's all. Because of unrighteousness. That's the nature of it. So God, this is what he's saying, and God will reveal his wrath, is revealing it, will continuously do so all the way to the end, by his determining when that's going to happen, against all ungodliness, all unrighteousness, all men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. And if you know anything about your Bible, all of us are unrighteous, amen? Is anybody in the room perfect righteousness? Come on, help me. Yes or no? Absolutely not, right? You might be think you're close, right? I just got a little bitty of unrighteousness. God's wrath of eternal damnation is going to come against you for the itty bitty of it, okay? That's what God wants us to understand about the righteousness of God. Because it's going to come against all who are unrighteous, and all are unrighteous. Even the Jews aren't righteous. Even with the law of God, they're not righteous. He's going to get into that. If you know your Bible at all, you know that no one is without sin. No one, no matter how hard they try or do goodwill or good things, they cannot perform in perfect righteousness. So all are ungodly. All are unrighteous in some manner, some more, some less. All ungodly and unrighteous. And his wrath will be revealed on them. That's going to be the nature of it. And it's on all. Romans 3:9 says, both Jew and Greek are under sin. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So God's wrath will come on all. That's a good thing to talk about with your families. That's a good thing to talk about in your home. Because we'll get to the teaching of it later, but as we learn of this and we live this out, this is important for us to know in our families, in our homes, and in our lives, as we would teach this in our families, that yes, we may do some things that you could say we're good, we're righteous. You may say we don't do some things that are so sinful. Morally, we might be better than others. Morally, we might be pretty a lot better than others. And God's wrath is going to come upon those that are evil and wicked and all of that. But God's wrath is going to come upon one sin. If you got one sin, God's wrath is going to come upon you. One. One ever in your whole lifetime. Anybody ever do one? That's what he wants us to understand. That's what God is. That's why he teaches all the way to 320, because we're so stubborn, we're so in our mind, we're so struggling with, somehow God is picking up the good people. God in his grace is not, and his righteousness is choosing to justify you and give you his righteousness in Jesus Christ. And everybody needs it. So we have to deal with our hearts and our minds and where we think that somehow God's wrath isn't going to come upon me. It is unless you're in Jesus Christ. I don't know, care how morally good you look or what family you came from. And we have to understand that. Paul has to get, he'll get to the Jews. Hey, we got God's word, oracles, we're people of God. He's like, didn't make it either. He's going to close every door for us. He's going to hit each one of us. We're in our heart where we're thinking somewhere there's some righteousness in me. And that's why God is at work and he showed me the gospel and he came and found me. God's going to say, that ain't what it's about. This is so important for if we're going to understand righteousness, we're going to have to understand God's hatred of sin is eternal, eschatological, is right and just and perfect and holy, and he can dish it out to every human ever that has been created, period. Boy, that's really going to help us understand this, isn't it? You're really going to understand this as being a choice, because this is what you deserve, wrath. And you got this, love, grace, mercy, power of God, perfect wisdom. This is what we're going to get to, and I know I'm kind of getting off straight off here, but that's okay. I got a couple of years to get through Romans. Lord willing, I'm not going to presume anything. Apart from the righteousness that is found, that is from God through Jesus Christ, all are children of wrath. Ephesians 2:3. We just studied that. Because of sin, the wrath of God comes upon sons of disobedience. Everybody sins. Unrighteousness here is a relational word about God and man. Man does not act righteously because they are relating wrongly to God. That's what he's saying here. That's what he says. They suppress, they oppress, they oppose the truth of God because they relate wrongly to God. They live in their sin. They think it's okay. It's unrighteous to not honor God, to honor his ways. It's ungodly behavior, and because man does this by his own choice, he suppresses or opposes the truth in unrighteousness and relating to God rightly. And by the way, that suppression is a natural inclination of fallen man, is to oppose God's truth, suppress it, and on all unrighteousness. It's the nature of fallen man. So the wrath of God is continuously going to be revealed from heaven against all men, because all men relate wrongly to God by choice, opposing the truth of God. That's what that says. That's what he's getting to. Well, that's how it's righteous. So God's wrath is just and righteous, not... Now, some of us may ask, well, how come a man deserves this? Probably some of those questions going on with you. I didn't ask you to be born in a sinful world. And as Jesus said, John 3, you come into this world condemned already. You're already judged. You have to believe in Christ to be unjudged, to be forgiven. But if you don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're condemned. The wrath of God's on you. It's not going to get off of you. It's the front of your bulletin. How can man be held responsible? How can God do that and be just? How can God be held responsible and God's judgment or wrath be waiting for all to be revealed against all? Paul gives four reasons. Look at your text. We need to understand that, right? How can God be righteous in that? How can he do that? How can he be just? We have these questions. If it isn't about some good, some close, some this, some that, how can God be righteous in his judgment of his wrath against all men? Because we all do ungodliness, and if that's the nature of us all, and we just all do ungodliness, how can he be righteous in that? He gives us four reasons. Look what he says, verse 19 and following. Circle that word, because. You guys know what the word because is for, right? Because, this is why, Ken, this is why, church, this is because how God can be righteous in doing this. Because... Verse 19 to 20, because of God's revelation, that which is known about God, listen to this, just listen to it. So how can God be righteous and just in his wrath coming against all of us that do ungodliness, and we all do ungodliness? God, okay, help me with that one. All right, let me give you the reason, God's word. Because, here it is, listen, that which is known about God is evident within them. Within them is all of us. Every human being ever here. Okay? That's what he's saying, right? He's talking about of men, and it's all men, all unrighteousness, right? And so listen to it again. Just listen. I want you to hear it. That which is known about God is evident within them, all of them, for God made it evident to all of them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal powers, divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood, all of them, through what was been made, so they are, what's that say? Without excuse. Man doesn't have any excuse. Now, did you hear what I heard? Come on, you guys. Did you hear what God said? Here's the first reason, because. I heard it clearly what he said. I read this over and over and over. Let's review it. That which is knowable about God is evident within them all humanity. For God made it evident to them all humanity. God did it. God did it. The creator of all, God, he said, I made it evident to them. Evident is a synonym in the Greek for, you guessed it, revealed. It's a really close word. So what God says, what is knowable about God from the creation, from the beginning, when man was formed in Genesis 2, from the beginning of it, I have made God it evident to every single one of them that has come after that. I have made it evident to them that God exists, that God is who God says he is. I made what was knowable about me knowable to them. God made it evident with all humanity and to all humanity through his invisible attributes, he says, that man can see and understand, as there is a God who is a creator, through the natural senses that God created man with, and what they saw was God's eternal power and divine nature, and everyone's seen it. Wow. I want you to think about that for a moment. Every person you talk to, every person you run into, every person in their life, God has made God evident to them. Well, what about all those people who believe in evolution? They're just rejecting God, giving over to a darkened heart, moving away from God. This is where the enemy, people aren't getting better. They're getting worse from the first revelation God gave them of himself and made it evident to them that there's a creator with eternal power. And what's the other word? I got to read it correctly. And a divine nature. He said, I made everybody know it. They all know it. Psalm 119:6, right? The heavens are declaring the glory of God and their expanse is declaring the work of his hands. Everybody sees it. Look at 128 with me of Romans. Look at 128. I got to move along quickly here. 128, he says this, and just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God, they have in them the revelation of God that they can acknowledge God. And they don't see fit to acknowledge it. Look at 132 in your text. Look at 132 of Romans. And although they know the ordinance of God, these are fallen people, guys, here. These are people that don't acknowledge God at all, that say there is no God. Although they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death. Did you hear what he just said? Unfallen people, people that don't know anything about God, or say they don't, right here, they know the ordinances of God. They know instinctively in them because divine nature, eternal power revealed it to them. Look at 2:15, what God writes in Romans 2:15. We'll start in 14. Look what he says here. He says this, talking to the Jews, 2:14, he says, when the Gentiles who do not have the law do instinctively the things of the law, these not having the law are a law to themselves, verse 15, in that they show the work of the law. Listen to this, written in their hearts. Who wrote it? God. God wrote it in everyone's heart, the law, right and wrong. It's written in everyone's heart, in their hearts, their conscience, bearing witness to the thoughts, alternately accusing or us defending them. This is right, this is wrong, this is right. Everybody on the planet has that. That's how God can be just and righteous. Everybody does. It's the revelation of God. God's wrath is being revealed against all ungodliness, and he's righteous and just to do that. Because it's a revelation. Now look at, he continues on. Look at verse 21. Because of man's rejection. Look what he says here. Verse 21, for, continuing on the teaching, for even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations and their foolish hearts were darkened. So God is just and righteous in revealing his wrath because all men know there is a God, right? They know right and wrong, and what does man do that says this, even though they knew it? They don't honor him. They don't give him thanks. They become futile in their speculations and foolishness. Hearts are darkened. They don't see fit to acknowledge him. What God is saying here, listen to me here. man on his own will choose willfully rejection every time. It's willful rejection, for even though that they knew God, they didn't honor him, they didn't give him thanks, they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. He shows us four ways in which man exhibits the rejection of God. They dishonor him, they're thankless to him, they become without wisdom in their reasoning concerning God, and they're being darkened in their hearts about him. Basically, they make up their own mind who and what and why God is, and they fail to honor him and thank him, and they suppress the truth of God in rejecting him. Now, that's all, right? With what he's been teaching us, right? He hasn't got to Christ yet. He hasn't got to the hope of Christ and the message of the gospel. He's just talking about humanity. He hasn't got there yet. And what he's teaching, this is all men apart from God's act upon them, right? The righteousness of God, apart from God, activity of making right, saving, vindicating, and satisfying his justice. This is all men apart from that. Everyone apart from that. They'll all reject God. This is what Paul is teaching us, for us to understand. That's man, Gentile man. We'll see it later in the Jews. And to kind of hurry up here, I need to move along. I won't read some passages, but there's a lot here. So God's wrath is just because of God's revelation. Even though they knew God, what God had made evident to them, man rejects God, being futile in their and darkened in their heart. And they try to justify themselves, and they rationalize their sin, and that's in verse 22. That's the third thing in our outline, man, rationalization. Listen to what he says. Professing to be wise, they become fools. Now, I just want you to capture one thing here, and I don't want to spend too much time on it. What I want you to capture here is, this is everybody apart from God's grace in Jesus Christ. This isn't those people. Okay, I want you to capture that. That's what God wants us to understand. This is who I am. This is who Pastor Tom is, apart from the grace of God in Jesus Christ. This is who you are. This is who I am. This is the life I lived till 33. Then God opened up my heart to Christ, pierced my heart with the truth of Christ, to surrender my life to Christ. But this was me. This was you. This is everybody that's unsaved. What they do is God makes it evident to them that God is here. They'll come up with evolution, to come up with atheism, to come up with everything. We'll get into how God gives them over to all of that. But this is most of us, a lot of us, walking around, making God up in our own mind. We recognize there's right and wrong. We might even acknowledge there's some form of God. There's a God, but it was just, he just threw the dice, and now we all live. That was my mind. And what we start to do, we start to be professing to be wise. I'm wiser in God. Yes, there's a God. Yes, there's a creator. He's made it evident to me, but you know what? My speculations, my mind, I become futile. I kind of work this out to where my thinking is wiser than God's. And I'll live this way because God will accept it because I'm going to live that way. That sound familiar to anybody? Come on, help me. Am I the only one that God spoke to in that? That God said, wow, that's kind of stupid, Ken. Here, let me show you. Let me reveal to you who you really are, Ken. And it was like, oh, I need the Lord. You become fools. That's why the world's going the way it is. They're just fools. But that's who you would be apart from Christ. This is so important for us to understand and to know. That's what he's wanting us to teach and understand through his word. In rejecting the knowledge of God available, people claim in their rationalization to be wiser than God and become fools. It's called sin's deception. It's all through the scripture. Read Isaiah 47:10, 10 and 11. In Isaiah, that's what he does there. Let me just read that. I can close in 2 minutes. I'm going to try to. Isaiah said this. Now you hear this. Now then you hear this, you sensual ones, who dwell securely, who say in your heart, I'm the only one on the planet. It's only me. I mean, there's no one besides me. You felt secure in your wickedness and said, no one sees me. Your wisdom and your knowledge, they have deluded you. For you have said in your heart, I am, and there is no one besides me. But evil will come upon you, which you will not know how to charm away. And disaster will fall upon you, which you cannot atone. And destruction, which you do not know about, will suddenly come upon you. See, this is where man goes. This is where all man goes. This is what he wants to teach. That's why God's wrath is just and righteous. God's revelation, God's rejection, God's wrath, or man's rejection, man's rationalization. Finally, look at verse 23. Look at verse 23. What they do, they exchange the glory of the incorruptible God for the image of the in the form of the corruptible man and of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. They make up religion. That's what they do. This is the argument that Paul is putting before us. If we're going to understand the righteousness of God and the righteousness from God, all man, this is all man, God's revealed it to them. God is righteous for his wrath to come on them because they know and they've rejected God, they've rationalized this out, and they've come up with their own religion. That's why we have to have our minds renewed, because my mind is in my own religion, not God's relationship. Every single one of us got to come to faith in Christ, and then we got to renew this, because it isn't about religion. It's about relationship with God, and it isn't about religion, and that's what we do. We rationalize it to make it about religion, some sort of work or duty or thing that we got to do and this and all that kind of stuff. That's what man does. Man's religion, man's worship of whatever a fallen, sinful mind and heart will come up with. They come up with everything, don't they? They worship their job, they worship their sport, they worship their team, they worship their... It's called idol worship. It's worship of whatever it might be. It's called false religion. And let me tell you something. Idol worship, false religion, is not close to God at all. It is the farthest thing from God. The farthest thing from God. You're not close to God because you're worshiping a God that might be close to God. And they're going to church and they're going to a place and it's false worship, it's false God, it's false truth, it's just idolatry. And you saw at the end of the scale, it's toward the end, isn't it? It's not close to God at all. They've already rationalized that the God of the universe isn't right and I want to keep my sin. They've already rejected the Lord in his revelation. They're under the wrath of God. They've already made up in their mind of man. 1 Corinthians 12:2. You know what you were when you were pagans. You were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. It's pagan worship. It's not even what God wants them to see. But he wants them to see Christ, doesn't he? We'll close with this. Turn your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians 1, 9 and 10. Now let me ask you before we read that, go ahead and turn your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians 1, 9 and 10. And I want to say it again, and I just want to set it in our hearts. What God is doing is he's wanting us to understand the righteousness of God and then the righteousness from God, the truth of it, and have it in right and that kind of thing. And to have it understood the way God wants us to understand and what it means, that first of all, we got to see God's hatred of sin. We got to see his wrath and understand that all of us are sinners and God's wrath is upon us before we see that. And so he keeps showing that. We're going to go through this quite a bit. I'm going to move along as best I can. But what's the hope? 1 Thessalonians 1. 9 and 10. Here Paul is writing to this church about what the people in the area are saying, and listen to what they say. This is what the surrounding area of Macedonia, Arcadia, is saying. This is the community. Let's just take it as us. This is Tulare County. And they come and they see us and what we're doing, and they see our lives. And they themselves report about us what kind of reception we had with you, and how you turn to God from idols to serve a living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, that is Jesus, who rescues us from the wrath to come. Everybody needs rescued. Every single human being needs rescued, delivered, saved from the wrath, because God's wrath is just. Nobody is worthy of not receiving wrath. You have to be rescued from it. It says right in here how you're rescued. This is what it says. You turn to God, to the living and true God, to the Lord Jesus Christ. Nobody's righteous. Nobody is right at all, and you have to turn to the Lord. We looked at it in Ephesians 2, 1 through 3. Everyone's dead in their sins. But when you turn to the Lord, that's what it says. You turn to God. When you turn to the living and true God, you turned, that's that you repented, that you turned from serving idols, from serving self. You turn from being fools and being prideful and let go of the futile way of thinking in Ephesians 4, 17 through 19. That thinking of concerning God, and you acknowledge Him, you acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you honor and thank Him for God and for who He is, that He had sent and His Son has died on the cross to be Lord and Savior, and He rescues us from the wrath of to come. You obey God's call to believe and put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. When you do that, when that happens, when you believe in the work of God through His Son, Jesus Christ, to come and to rescue those that deserved the wrath of God, because God hates sin and He's just to pour out His wrath upon us, and that He poured it on Christ. When you see that and you turn to that and you turn from the way you were going to the way that God wants you to go, God unwinds the depravity, doesn't He? He unwinds the depravity. He does that righteously too through Jesus Christ. He forgives the depravity. He forgives the sin. He's the justifier. He justifies us. He makes us justified by Christ and His work. He imputes Christ's righteousness to us. That's the only way. There is no other way. And everybody needs it. Man needs saved. He offers its truth to you today. Would you pray with me? Father, we come to You. We seek You together to pray before You, to honor You, to give thanks to You. Lord, what You have rescued us from is really incredible if we grab hold of it. It's really unimaginable, the grace that we have received. That You would be righteous and just to disseminate Your wrath against me right here, before I believed in Christ, and send me to eternal hell. And it was righteous. It was good. It was holy. But You chose a different thing. You chose to love by choice. Nobody made You. You didn't have to. Nobody twisted Your arm. You just chose to love us, to act upon our behalf by choice, and send Your Son to justify Your wrath so You could rescue. What a grace. What a demonstration of choosing to love us. Really, our prayer, our words cannot give justice to our gratitude today. So we come before You and just say, Lord, grow us in our understanding of who You are and who we are and what You've done. Grow us in our relationship with You and with each other. And may we live in a manner worthy of the gospel, worthy of the Lord Jesus Christ taking our wrath for us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We are dismissed for today.